Hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to call right now, 844-322-2742. That's 844-32-BASIC. We're live on the air and online right now, so you can call and get an immediate answer to your questions or to discuss the important issues in life right now. Again, the toll-free number, 844-322-2742. Welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. This is actually a very exciting week in the life of the church. On Sunday, we will celebrate Pentecost. It's not a holiday or a special Sunday that we pay a lot of attention to here in the United States. I think over in Europe, they actually take the day off and, you know, celebrate it much like they do Easter. As far as the church is concerned, as far as our day-to-day lives are concerned, Pentecost may be the most important day on a believer's calendar. And here's why. It's because there, Pentecost, is where the resurrection of Jesus Christ intersects with our daily life.
Yes.
You know, before Pentecost, it was just a historic event. Christ died, he was buried, then he was raised back to life. After Pentecost, it became a point of intersection where Jesus' life could now become our life, where he could connect with us and actually come and live inside of us. That's the meaning of Pentecost. It's the place and time where God took up residence in the hearts of men. And we're going to talk about that all week. Today, I'm going to lead with a question, and it's simply this. When you hear the word Pentecost, what comes to your mind? So let's have a lively conversation about that. If you have an opinion or something that you want to share to weigh in on that particular question, we invite you to call right now. When you hear the word Pentecost, what comes to your mind? Let's talk about it.
Yeah, 844-322-2742. We can talk about it right now. The lines are wide open. 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Calgary and talk to Miles, listening to us on the internet today. Hi, Miles.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi there.
I was listening to Richard on Friday, and he was talking about two verses, Romans 3:31, how do you uphold the law and die to the law at the same time? And it brought to mind something you had said before, Bob, to me, that Jesus is in us. And this conversation actually made me start to think about two words, and those words are inspire versus motivate. And it occurs to me that the word inspire has the word in it, plus spire, which to me is probably derived from spirit. And it occurs to me that we're inspired by grace, but we could be motivated by the law. And I wonder if that also relates to the theme of Pentecost. Can you comment on that?
Well, we can comment on that, I think. You know, there's lots of things out there that inspire us, and some of those become things that serve as catalysts in our life to get us off the couch, so to speak, and, you know, take a step. So there's lots of inspirational stories. You know, there's also all kinds of different motivations. There's external motivations, there's intrinsic motivations, internal motivations. Believers have an internal motivation. We have the Holy Spirit inside living his life in and through us. And so that's kind of the motivation. And we always make a contrast between the internal motivation of the Spirit versus the external motivation of the law. So folks, you know, under the law, they may take that external motivation and clean themselves on the outside, but as Jesus pointed out, they were still dirty on the inside. We need something to happen to us on the inside to make us what God wants us to be. And that happens through the washing and rebirth of the Holy Spirit. So now we have internal motivation. That's why the New Covenant speaks to the fact that the laws are now written on our hearts, not the Ten Commandments, but the laws of faith, hope, and love, the law of the Spirit of life, the law of liberty, the law of love. Those things have been written on our hearts. And so those things now start from within and bubble out and impact others. So we see kind of a difference between external motivation and internal motivation. And motivation is really something that gets us to do something to bring about an end. Inspiration can just tug at our hearts and make us feel good for a brief moment, and then we forget about it.
Right. And Pentecost, that is the event when the Holy Spirit descended on large numbers. Is that correct?
Pentecost was 50 days, and that's where Penta comes from. It means 50. And so it was 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When Jesus ascended into heaven, God the Father gave him the gift of the Holy Spirit, and then he poured that gift out on mankind on the day of Pentecost. And that's what those tongues of fire and all of those intriguing, interesting things that filled that day were all about. They were showing us that God was now taking up residence through his Holy Spirit in mankind. And as I said at the beginning of the broadcast, it's really the intersection of the resurrection of Jesus Christ in our day-to-day lives. It's where those two meet and the resurrection actually becomes a reality in our everyday lives.
That's awesome news. Thanks, fellas.
Oh, it is awesome news, Miles. Thanks for your call today. We certainly appreciate it.
Absolutely. And friends, we'd love to hear from you. What do you think when you hear the word Pentecost? We'd love to hear your thoughts on that. 844-322-2742. If you have some other burning question, we'd love to address that on this edition as well. Bob Christopher is here. Richard Piper. My name is Bob Davis. Again, 844-322-2742. Guys, good news on something as far as a matching gift is concerned.
Some great news.
Yes,
we had a generous contributor to the ministry give us a nice gift as a matching gift to match this week, a $10,000 matching gift challenge. It expires this Saturday, Saturday the 23rd. So we're encouraging our listeners to take advantage of this matching gift opportunity. What that means is that you can double your impact.
Yes.
If you give a gift of $100 or $500, you actually double the impact of that gift because it's going to be matched dollar for dollar up to $10,000. Somebody out there may want to give the whole $10,000.
Sure. Yeah.
But
take it.
Well, that would be fantastic. Mm-hmm. But this is a wonderful opportunity to double your impact through the ministry of Basic Gospel, minister this good news to people all over the world. So come join us. Help us meet this matching gift challenge by Saturday, May 23rd.
Yeah, good idea. And you can go to basicgospel.net and scroll down to, actually won't have to scroll, just go to the bottom right corner of the homepage. You'll find the link there that says Donate Today. And as a matter of fact, when you donate today, you'll also get a copy of our new Bible study devotional, Simply Gospel, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, our 12 days of Simply Grace it is. So we encourage you to do that. Take advantage of the double the matching gift offer and also the devotional. And again, go to basicgospel.net. And that link, Donate Today, is at the bottom right corner of the homepage.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Allen, Texas, and talk with Mike, listening to us on the Word. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great. How about you? What's on your mind today?
Praise the Lord. You know, I'm kind of sad about it because, but it's a great sadness because Pentecostal and Day of Pentecost, I did receive the gift of the Holy Spirit by speaking in tongues, and so when you think of that, after the age of 18, I went Lutheran, and then Methodist, and then non-denominational here in Dallas with Ed Young's church, and just recently I went back to a Pentecostal church. I think they called it Apostolic Christian Church, and I spoke in tongues again. And you know, that's what I believe. You know, when you have to quote Acts 2:38, you know, when Peter said unto them to repent. So I was asking you now, what is your definition of that? Because, like, you know, I listen to the Word and I love everyone, and I would hate to think when I was brought up that you have to speak in tongues or you won't go to heaven. You know, I think even if you're baptized in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that is in Jesus' name, because He is all three anyway, that, you know, Charles Stanley and all those that aren't speaking in tongues, Bible, you know.
Well, Mike, let me jump in on that, and I appreciate your call today. I really, really do, as far as Pentecost means. As I said at the beginning of the broadcast, it really is the most important day for us as believers. It's when God poured out the Holy Spirit on mankind. And what that means is that the Holy Spirit has come to live inside of us. And the Holy Spirit has come to live inside of us to do in and through us what we could not do for ourselves. In the early days on that day of Pentecost, we see the 11, they were speaking the good news about Jesus Christ, and those that were there could actually hear that good news in their own native languages. So as far as tongues was concerned, that's what it was on that particular day. The apostles speaking, it doesn't say they were speaking in those native tongues. It simply said they were speaking, and the listeners could hear this good news about Jesus, His death, His burial, His resurrection, in their native tongues. And that's why it was so spectacular,
amazing,
and amazing to them. And that's why they wondered, what in the world is going on? We're hearing such good news about this Jesus in our own native tongue. And when you look at the word tongue and trace it through, it's always a known language. It might not be known to the speaker, but it's known to the hearer. And that's the miracle of it. But the language that God really wants us to speak in, and this is why the Holy Spirit has to come and live inside of us, is so that we can actually speak the language of love, not only in the words that we say, but in the acts that we do one toward another. Back in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses gives this brief little synopsis of what's going to happen to the people of Israel at some point in the future. The Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants so that you may love Him with all your heart and with all your soul and live. Well, that's a prophecy about the Holy Spirit. That's what this being baptized by the Holy Spirit is all about. That's what the Holy Spirit coming to live inside of us is all about, so that we can actually love the Lord our God and that we can love others as Christ has loved us. We can't do that apart from the power of God's Spirit living inside of us. So that's really what Pentecost is all about. And to show the importance of it, God circled that event with all kinds of signs and wonders, basically neon signs pointing to the event, saying, pay attention. This is the important stuff. This is when God Himself is coming to live inside of you and is going to enable you to actually love. That's what this Pentecost is all about. And it's a miracle. It's an absolute miracle. And it was especially miraculous back in that day when Jews and Gentiles, who once hated each other, they despised each other. A Jew would not even step foot inside a Gentile's home. That's how much the disgust was. And yet, when the Holy Spirit came to live inside of them. Peter, for example, marched right into Cornelius' home. Why? Because the power of the Holy Spirit was enabling him to love people that he had never dreamed about loving before. That's the language that God wants us to speak, and that's what Pentecost is all about. Well, Mike, hope that helps. We sure appreciate your call. You hang on. We'll get some more information and send it to you. Okay, my friend? You hang on.
Thanks, Mike. And friends, what do you think about Pentecost? What comes to your mind when the discussion comes up? Give us a call, 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. Guys, a question from Michael, who lives in the Temple, Texas area, says, in the book of Romans, Paul tells the Romans that a true Jew is one inwardly. Also, Romans 9, 6 through 8 says that they are not all Israel who are of Israel. Is Romans, he asked the question again, is Romans 11, 25 through 26 saying that the nation of Israel will all respond to the grace of God, or is it referring to the Israel of Jew and Gentile? That's from Michael in Temple, Texas. By the way, listening on our great affiliate in Central Texas, KBBW.
Yeah, that is a great affiliate. We certainly appreciate our partnership with that wonderful outreach there. And it's a very interesting question.
Yes.
Jew and Gentile. It's a theme that carries throughout the Word of God. In the Old Testament, we see the people of God were really the people of Israel. Israel became a divided kingdom. A northern kingdom, which took the name Israel, then a southern kingdom, which took the name Judah. They were divided, but they represented the 12 tribes of Israel. And they had a purpose, and that purpose was to bring forth Jesus Christ into this world, the seed of Abraham, through which the world would be blessed. Well, Jesus has come, and now Jesus, through this gospel message, is creating for himself one new man. We call that the church, the body of Christ. That one new man is made up of Jew and Gentile. Mm-hmm. Well, as we read through the New Testament, especially the book, the gospel accounts and the book of Acts, we see that there was a hardening of the people of Israel toward Jesus. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. That's how John really begins his gospel account. At the end, Paul is saying, I'm going to go to the Gentile world, to the folks who will listen. In the meantime, I'm going to put you on the back burner, so to speak. Well, does that mean that there are no Jews being saved today? Absolutely not. There are Jews being saved today, as Paul wrote in this great series of chapters 9, 10, 11 in the book of Romans. There's a remnant being chosen by grace.
Right.
So today we're in what's known as the age of the Gentiles. That's where the gospel is really flourishing. That's where we see the fruit of the gospel really taking place. Well, at some point in the future, God's going to circle back to the people of Israel. And there's going to be a receiving of the Messiah by the people of Israel, not just a remnant. How all that's going to take place, don't know exactly. That's just part of the incredible, amazing, mind-shattering plan of God to bring mercy to all people groups. And that's what it's all about. And then we will all stand together as one in praise of our great Messiah. Mm-hmm. For eternity.
Yes, indeed. Well, Michael, hope you're listening. Hope that's been a help to you.
Well, let's go out to Livermore, California, and talk to William. Hey, William. Thanks for your patience. Sorry I cut you off a few minutes ago, but welcome back.
Well, thanks for having me. I was calling to share what Pentecost means to me. The way I see it, it not only is it the day that the first group of believers in Jesus Christ were saved by receiving the Holy Spirit, giving them life so they could cross over from death unto life, but it also revealed a stark contrast in those believers from before they were indwelt by the Holy Spirit and after they were indwelt. After three or so years of the ministry of Jesus, he only had about 120 who actually believed, and yet after everything he had shown them and taught them, his miraculous resurrection, which they all witnessed, they were still in a locked room terrified of the Jews that they were going to come and kill them. And after the Holy Spirit came to indwell them, they were able to boldly stand before all the Jews gathered from around the world at the temple and point the finger and say, "You crucified the Son of God." And that comforts me, because I know that Jesus taught them all those years, but they really didn't get it until they had spiritual understanding. And most of us that are saved today, we get the Spirit first, and then we learn. And like Paul says, we're transformed through the renewal of our mind. But anyway, that's what it means to me.
Well, thanks, William. We certainly appreciate you sharing those comments, and I will agree to you. Good stuff.
You bet.
Good stuff. I think it's, when we talk about the intersection between the resurrection of Jesus Christ in our daily lives, what we see happening in us, like we saw with Peter, fear turns to faith. Mm-hmm. That fear gets absorbed up in the very love of God and the presence of God, and it turns into faith. We have this strong trust in Jesus Christ. We know he's for us, not against us, and we can stand up and boldly proclaim the message that saves, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ Jesus. Talk about a transformation. That's a transformation.
Yes, you bet.
Well, let's go to Mineola, New York, and talk with Lisa, listening to us on our great affiliate, WMCA. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, guys. God bless you guys. Thank you for your ministry. I'll say thank God for your ministry. Quick question regarding the three areas in the book of Acts, or the three chapters in the book of Acts, where people were spoke in tongues. Nobody's ever able to explain this, but I did hear, and I just need a confirmation or clarification regarding each group that the tongues were spoken to. One was the Samaritan after the upper room experience, and the tongues they were spoken to Samaritans, and I can't remember the third one because I don't have my Bible in front of me, but it was another group of people. Was that to prove to the Jewish people that God was actually engrafting everyone else in the kingdom, if you will?
Lisa, I think you're on to something right there. I think God is moving you in the right direction as far as your understanding is concerned. Paul talked about that tongues was a sign to the unbelieving Jew. Well, why were they unbelieving? Well, they were unbelieving in the fact that the Gentiles would receive the same blessing that they received. And so the gift of tongues was assigned to them, showing that indeed the gift of the Holy Spirit had been given to the Gentiles. I love what Paul said in Galatians 3:14. He said this: "He redeemed us, Jesus, in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit." A Jew would have never believed a Gentile would have received the Spirit the way that they did in a million years. And the gift of tongues was a sign to them, confirming that indeed the Gentiles had been grafted in and they were all sharing in this new life together.
Absolutely. Lisa, great to hear from you. Thanks. Hope you keep listening and call us again. Friends, remember that Basic Gospel is a very, very truly a listener-supported ministry, and your prayers and gifts keep the good news of Jesus Christ on the airwaves. And right now, you can double the impact of your gift during our matching gift challenge up to $10,000. So your gift at any amount will be matched up to $10,000. So a great opportunity to really, really make it count. And when you click donate today in the graphic at the bottom right corner of the homepage at basicgospel.net, you'll automatically receive a copy of our new devotional booklet, 12 Days of Simply Grace. Again, that's the bottom right corner of the homepage at basicgospel.net. Join us today and help with that matching gift. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and the ministry team, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.